You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyerman. I'm after this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Yesterday, we broke down the AFC latest news and rumors, and you know what teams are thinking potentially while they're on the clock during the 2022 NFL Draft, what they're feeling about their current roster, what veterans they still could be looking to acquire or move here. We're going to do the same with the NFC, so we'll go in alphabetical order. We'll start there all the way in the desert in Arizona, and then we'll end up back on the East Coast with the Washington Commanders. So breaking it all down for the 16 teams, what all these teams might be thinking, where they're looking at upgrading their teams, where they're looking to save some money and make some moves here still in the 2022 NFL Draft. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available for you on all platforms. All right, let's start with the Cardinals here, and this is a good place to start because the Kyler Murray rumors, they swirled a little bit. Was he unhappy? Does he want to go? Is he going to get the extension? Are the Cardinals entertaining thoughts of moving him or signing him? These are some things that have been on a holding pattern a little bit. They made an interesting move a couple weeks ago in bringing back A.J. Green. They said things were a little bit off between A.J. Green and Kyler Murray, so it's weird things that are coming out of Arizona. Is Kyler Murray the man here? What do the teammates think? Is he a guy that they can get in step with and play at a high level with as a receiver? You have two veterans there that helps in DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green. You also have Zach Ertz returning at tight end as well as Max Williams. So some veterans there that can maybe bring along Kyler Murray a little bit. So I think you have to take these things with a grain of salt. Kyler Murray's looking to get paid at a high level. It's kind of the anti-Lamar Jackson where Murray wants to get signed and locked in right now at a high level, where Lamar wants to go out there and earn it to match his salary a little bit to what's going on in the open market. And the difference between Lamar and Kyler is that Lamar Jackson has a MVP in his books, and Kyler Murray still has to get to that level. And Kyler Murray's also coming off a disappointing performance against the Rams in the playoffs. So there's a lot to look at there. I don't think the Cardinals are going to be really seriously wanting to move Murray to anyone at this point. They want to work it out, try to support him a little bit better. So Cardinals might do in the draft is look for a little bit of help at wide receiver if the value plays out in the first round. But right now I think they're looking at a little bit of a punch and kind of a successor here to J.J. Watt. So Devontae White is the guy I had them taking the first round. I think corner is also a possibility for the Cardinals as they try to get better there. Edge rusher could also be in play here as they moved on from Chandler Jones. But Kyler Murray, I wouldn't think that he's on the move at all here for the Cardinals this offseason. And really, I think that deal will come. I think you just have to be patient here. And really, it would be ahead of schedule if that were the case. So if I'm Murray, I want to wait till next year and see where I'm at with my value, because he could play at an MVP level and then really cash in here with the Cardinals. We'd love that, because if he's playing at an MVP level, we know he's putting up big numbers and delivering in fantasy at a very high level, and he's already pretty good established QB1 for us. The Falcons do not have a QB1 in fantasy football. It is Marcus Mariota. Do they look at a quarterback there? They're sitting with the 8th overall pick. There's been rumors that they like Malik Willis to bring along, and Marcus Mariota is serving as the bridge here for Arthur Smith, having some familiarity from the Titans, and that's why they maybe got Mariota to bridge that gap a little bit to that franchise quarterback. Or could the Falcons be looking more Mariota's the bridge, and we're looking at a Bryce Young there or a C.J. Stroud as our franchise quarterback next year? So a lot of things to think about with the Falcons there, but it'd be shocking if they don't think about quarterback a little bit more in the first round, and teams could try to jump them also, including the Saints, who might say, hey, the Falcons are in our division. They also can look at the Panthers being a team that could go after quarterback here, but Malik Willis seems to be the choice here if they're going to go with either Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis. I think it would be more Willis here for the Falcons with the local kind of connection there. Was it Auburn at one point? So regional type bias there. Liberty is not too far either there for Atlanta. So I think that would probably say Malik Willis is the guy, and he has some upside, and that's the thing, is that he's a high-ceiling guy, may not be ready this year, and that would say with Mariota in place there, the Falcons can feel a little bit more comfortable about that. Tight end, they look pretty set with Kyle Pitts, but could use some help here with Hayden Hurst gone, so especially there, they have Olamide Zaccheaus in the mix as well, returning, but they did lose Russell Gage. Calvin Ridley's not going to be there, so wide receiver is also going to be a high priority. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons really invest in offensive skill position players more than we think in this draft. I think they were tied to defense early. If the corner or safety help plays out well in the first round, they will go in that direction. But right now, do not sleep on the Falcons really moving around the draft board, maybe in trading down to get multiple assets there. And also, if they get a quarterback in the first round, maybe look at wide receiver in round two there. Christian Watson out of North Dakota State is who I have them taking there. So Falcons are definitely going to stock up a little bit there with the wide receiver cupboard rather bare, really, without Ridley. And who knows what the future of Ridley is with the team going forward as well. All right, we talked about quarterbacks. I think the Panthers are a hard team to read there. Couple spots ahead at number six. They could look at either guy at quarterback in Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis. Looks like that is looking like the pick. Charles Cross, the value of the offensive tackle from Mississippi State, has kind of dropped a little bit. The Panthers are more locking to the quarterbacks as they're going supply and demand. This thing may not go down where Baker Mayfield is an option with Sam Darnold. They don't want to be locked into Sam Darnold. So quarterback definitely high on the radar for the Panthers, and that's going to be the biggest decision. Are they happy with the Mayfield-Darnold type combination? Are they going to sit on Darnold, wait for next year, like I mentioned with Stroud and Young available in the draft? They're in a table position. Do they just go best player available? And it doesn't matter if it's offensive tackle or another position, just go there. We look at corner as well. So there's a lot of things the Panthers could do, but I think quarterback is still where the lean is right now in the first round. The next team we'll talk about is Chicago Bears. They did invest a little bit in wide receiver. They brought in Byron Pringle. Okay, they invested a very little bit at wide receiver when they had Byron Pringle there as a complement to Darnell Mooney. They moved on from Allen Robinson. So they also have David Moore, the former Raven. They also made a couple of interesting moves at tight ends. They look like they're going to move on from Jimmy Graham, and Graham's kind of slowly fading into the sunset here with his career as he's aged here. But Cole Kmet has some company there, and James O'Shaughnessy, our favorite Irish Jaguar, and Ryan Griffin from the Jets. So Bears, interesting things to their tight end core, but right now they need to upgrade. They just can't go with Darnell Mooney as Justin Fields' top weapon here. They got to get Kmet more involved. If they're going to commit to the 12 personnel a little bit more, maybe that's what they should do with O'Shaughnessy and Griffin in there and go there to help Fields. But it's not looking great with the skill position, to be honest. I think it's still going to be a run-heavy team with David Montgomery quite a bit. Mooney's going to get a dominant look at targets here this season as well, unless they can get a bonafide number two. I like a couple guys they could look at. John Mechie there of Alabama, someone they can look at. I also mentioned Christian Watson there for the Falcons. He might be in play for the Bears in the second round, so they need some help, folks, for Fields to really feel good about Fields, making that jump up to unquestioned starter and transitioning into QB1 viability for fantasy football. Last team we'll talk about is the Dallas Cowboys. There's concern about Michael Gallup and his knee injury. Could linger a little bit more if he's going to be ready there. They did invest in Michael Gallup and bring him back, so there was not that concern there. And you also brought in James Washington there, so a little bit of contingency plan. You lose Cedric Wilson and get a little bit of depth there with Malik Turner there, so both of those guys move on here. So really, the Cowboys look pretty set. Dalton Schultz in the mix with the CeeDee Lamb. They look like they could see a lot of targets here if Gallup is slow out of the gate. He's more of the deep threat. Dak Prescott doing some throwing, trying to get locked in again with his receiver. So I expect a big year from Dak Prescott. Again, right now, Schultz really feels good as a tight end one. CeeDee Lamb off the charts good as a wide receiver one. And again, they'll probably get some help. I don't think they can look at James Washington there as their number three receiver here. So that's going to be a point of emphasis, as well as restoring that pass rush defensive line and that interior offensive line for the Cowboys in the draft. All right, we will break down 11 more teams when it's all said and done on this show here. And we'll get all the way through the Commanders. We'll get through a couple NFC North teams, really three of them in our next segment with the Lions, Packers, and Vikings. Oh my, we will do that in a moment. But I do have to tell you, once again, this episode has been brought to you by Athletic Greens, and specifically their signature product here, AG1. I started taking AG1 because I need a little bit of boost to my health here, and really, it's got the job done. You just have it every morning along with your breakfast, you're good to go. You can have it any time of day. They have to-go packs there where you can put it in, mix it around, and you've got a boost in the middle of the afternoon when you're in that work lull. Athletic Greens just makes you feel good there in the form of AG1, and it's really going to take care of all the important things here in your body. 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens, all available for you with AG1. I incorporate it very easily into my day. Again, it's very simple. Just put the scoop in water. You're good to go. Mix it up, and AG1 is going to be right there for you, and it's going to help you with all the biggest things that you need as we get older: gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things that we're caring about a lot more as we get older. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It's going to fit right in with what you want. AG1 contains less than 1 gram of sugar, so no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting good. It's going to support your better sleep quality and recovery. It's going to support your mental clarity and alertness. It's the one thing with the best things. Athletic Greens uses the best of the best products based on the latest science and with constant product iterations and third-party testing to go into AG1. Just check it out. Athletic Greens and AG1, they have more than 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by professional athletes. They're trusted by leading health experts such as Tim Ferriss and Michael Gervais. So check it out. Athletic Greens is also going to be good for the environment. It's going to be good for your body. Climate neutral certified company there that you get. So every time you use the AG1, you can feel good about yourself and feel good about our earth. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. 8 ounces will do it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. This episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is also brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. A lot of good stuff there going into the 2022 NFL draft. We got USFL action there for live football. We also have basketball in swing with the NBA playoffs. Major League Baseball season is here, and NHL playoffs are right around the corner. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including that NBA and MLB action and USFL and NHL. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Trust me, go use the website and you'll find it easy and fun to get into. Head to the website today, use a mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, it is time to continue the show looking at 6 more teams here. We'll do that in our second segment and close with 5 more, and we'll get through the entire NFC here. We did that with the AFC. If you missed anything, they're breaking down what the latest news and rumors are, as well as what teams might be thinking when they're on the clock in the first round and beyond in the 2022 NFL draft. Speaking of that, there's a big event here on the network you got to check out. For the first time ever, Locked On is hosting live coverage of the 2022 NFL draft from our studios in Dallas, with pick-by-pick analysis from our local team experts and draft gurus. Tune in all 3 days as our draft team guides you through every pick and every trade in real time. It all starts on Thursday, April 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 hour before the draft. Available on Locked On NFL on YouTube and on the Odyssey app. And again, thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football part of your day as your first listen every day. The Detroit Lions, what are they going to do at number 2? That's their original pick. And then number 32, the one they acquired in the Matthew Stafford trade that belongs to the Rams, the Super Bowl champs, who are going last. So 2 and 32. So they pick second and second to last, or last in this round. So I think they might move up and down. I was getting ahead of myself where Lions might move up a little bit there from 32, depending on the quarterback situation shakes out. They also might trade down a little bit from 32, knowing that they have that early second round pick as well, not too far away from 32. So you look at the Lions, I mean, quarterback is a big question mark. Can they get one at 32, or they're going to have to find a way to finagle number two, move down a couple spots, get an extra pick there, and then be in a primo position to get a quarterback of their choice? Or do they hope that Matt Corral or Desmond Ridder sits there at number 32 or somewhere in the 20s where they can make a smaller move up with their second round pick to get that quarterback? So that's what's in play for the Lions. They're somewhat satisfied with their receiving core, but I still think they could add another wide receiver. They got DJ Chark. He's also coming off a major ankle injury there from the Jaguars last season. Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like the real deal. TJ Hockenson is being held off on extension, but he's going to be picked up for that fifth-year option. So they need a little bit more weaponry here. They can't just trust Quintus Cephas totally around as the third option there for whoever's at quarterback. Right now, it's Jared Goff. They got to think about quarterback here. Offensive line, the lines are set. They're not going to force the issue there. Defensively, they need a lot of help, so they could diversify their picks a little bit if they don't want to go corner or safety and sit at number two. So a lot of things the Lions need to think about, but I think ideally they'll get out of that and help their offense a little bit more here and go from Jared Goff as the bridge to actually having someone in place to take over there as their starting quarterback somewhere soon. All right, let's go to the Packers, staying in the division. The wide receiver is going to be high on their radar. They got 22 and 28. They made that deal with the Raiders, so that gives them a little bit of flexibility to try to replace Devontae Adams, who was involved in getting that extra pick. So again, what do they do there? Do they add some extra tight end help to help Robert Tonyan and go 12 personnel a little bit with Matt LaFleur, something he did a lot in Tennessee, connection there to Arthur Smith? So there's a lot of things to look at there with the Packers and where they might go in the passing game, but definitely they need to get guys who can catch the ball for Aaron Rodgers, short to intermediate, deep. They could double up on receiver or go receiver tight end. A lot of things they can think about here, but right now, losing Marquez Valdes-Scantling means they also need a deep threat as well as a potential number one. Alan Lazard is your best returning receiver, trying to makeshift some things. They added Sammy Watkins, so they're just trying to get some placeholders to make something work here, but definitely in the market for not only a number one wide receiver who can do it all there with his size. So there's some rumors that they can move up and get Chris Olave or Garrett Wilson or Jameson Williams there at wide receiver to get that bona fide number one, then find their deep threat a little bit later in the draft. They could also look at Jahan Dotson as kind of a hybrid number one, the deep threat there to replace MVS out of Penn State. A lot of good speed, very similar skill set to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but maybe more potential to be a more complete receiver for them for Aaron Rodgers. So a lot of things to look at there with Green Bay. Staying and going out west to the champions, the LA Rams, they don't enter the draft until pretty late here in third round, so they've made all those moves there to move the picks there. They're happy with Matthew Stafford, to say the least. He helped them win a Super Bowl with his passing there to Cooper Kupp. So wide receiver, maybe in the mix for the Rams. We'll see. I doubt it. It really depends on how they feel about Allen Robinson being effective there with Van Jefferson and Odell Beckham Jr. Does he come back in the mix? So a lot of things the Rams need to weigh here. They're going to add some depth at this position. Running backs, they could add some depth just because of the durability issues with Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson, but Cam Akers figures to be the guy there. So not a lot to talk about with the Super Bowl champs. They're pretty much in status quo. I think defense will also be a factor here after losing Von Miller and Darius Williams, two key starters there in the passing game for them there this offseason. We go to the Vikings. They're not interested in Garrett Bradbury at all. They've proclaimed him as a bust at center. So offensive line, the interior could be coming to play. They could jump on Linderbaum there in the middle of the first round ahead of him dropping to the Bengals there at number 31. So that's what we look at there for the Vikings. Offensive line will be on the radar. They need a second tight end here with Irv Smith coming off a major injury last year. You also don't have Tyler Conklin, who signed free agent contract with the Jets. So a little bit of depth at tight end, maybe incorporating some 12 personnel. I think it'll be more 11, however, with Kevin O'Connell and three wide receivers. So that's another position that could come up. The Vikings are in the wheelhouse at number 12 to maybe have their first shot at Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, or Jameson Williams there. And imagine one of those guys in there with Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen more is a veteran slot guy there, so you can put any of those three guys on the outside. So that would be something to definitely watch here. It would boost the value of Kirk Cousins. This offense would certainly have a lot more appeal if you had a co-number one there with Jefferson as a first-round pick. So a lot of things to look at here with the Vikings. And corner, they did bring back Patrick Peterson. They may not be that interested in taking a corner too early with the depth of the position. So a lot of things to think about with their new general manager Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. They're working with their new offensive minded coach, Kevin O'Connell. Go to the Saints. Quarterback, it could be in play for them. They now have two first-round picks after making the deal with the Eagles involving a pick next year. So the Eagles down to two picks in the first round. The Saints up to two. So there's the thought that they could move up for either Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis. And again, the Panthers there at number six, the Falcons at number eight. They'll have to get the wheelhouse to jump one of those teams. But quarterback seems to be very much in play for the Saints, despite the presences of Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton. Actually, you have two bridges. Winston, you thought, was a little bit more than a bridge, but then they added Dalton to make you question how much they trust Winston coming off a major knee injury here. And Taysom Hill has been relegated to an out backup tight end and a kind of a gadget player again here. So, again, the Saints should be in the market for quarterback. They can also look at wide receiver. Michael Thomas is coming back. It's not totally lost with Marcus Callaway and Traquan Smith, but that'll be an emphasis at some point. Don't forget about offensive tackle here. After losing Terron Armstead, they can look at Trevor Penning there of Northern Iowa. Pretty good replacement for him. But left tackle is definitely a void for the Saints after losing Armstead. Still have Ryan Ramczyk on the right side, but that's where they have the Saints to think about. So looking like offensive skill, a guy can pass or a guy can block here is going to be pretty key for the Saints early with those first two picks in the first round. And finally, last team we'll talk about in this segment, the New York Giants and Kadarius Toney. There's already talk about moving their first-round pick from last year. Toney is a weird kid, and this was the risk they took. He was a big playmaker, big slot that they could put in, and just flash like he did in the Cowboys game when he got the opportunity, but he didn't stay on the field enough here for the Giants last year. He had the COVID-19 issues. They might be just growing tired of this kid a little bit if he's not falling in line here. He hasn't really proved anything there as a rookie there, so going into his second season, let's hope they can work it out with Kadarius Toney, because this team is grossly short on weapons. They had to go get Jordan Akins, along with Ricky Seals-Jones. They lost Evan Engram there in free agency. You look at Sterling Shepard. He's getting up there in age. He's a guy that you can't trust to stay healthy. Kenny Galladay signing was a mess in the first year last year. So if they had to move Toney, this is just going to be pretty ugly here for Daniel Jones here. So will the Giants make wide receiver a priority early, especially with two first-round picks? Offensive line's also concerned. Andrew Thomas should be on the mend here and pretty good. Do you get a bookend for him, whether they put Thomas at left or right tackle? So a lot of things to think about for Brian Daboll and new GM Joe Shane, but definitely the Giants are a little bit in transition and concern offensively with just how much they can produce, especially with Toney, their first-round pick from last year, maybe wanting out of there, and maybe the Giants obliging with that move. All right, we still need to talk about five more teams from the NFC and their latest news and rumors going into the 2022 NFL Draft. I do have to tell you before that that this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto and rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now possible for you to go to your local chain auto parts store and see all the stock, all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why should you spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same auto parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Just check it out. I've had a look at really tough parts. I had to get a side mirror cover for my Ford C-Max Energy. They had that. I also had to find an interior console cover there for my Honda Accord, and they had that as well. So they're going to find things that you need, what year it is, what make, what model. They're going to take care of you there at rockauto.com. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right, Locked On in there, how did you hear about this box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, find them at rockauto.com. All right, it is time to close the show. Looking at five more teams, we'll go with the Philadelphia Eagles, close in the same division of Washington Commanders, two teams from the NFC West and one from the South in between. Let's go with the Eagles here. So wide receivers definitely been on the radar with Dallas Goedert at one tight end. They're looking at moving J.J. Arcega-Whiteside to tight end, so that's happening. Jalen Reagor, they're disappointed in at that slot. They're looking at someone that can complement Devonta Smith, maybe some spy speed on the outside. Drake London comes into play for them. Treylon Burks there of Arkansas, also consideration for the Eagles. Do they get a field stretcher the way that Jalen Reagor was not and go after Jahan Dotson? So the Eagles have some potential, I think maybe a little bit early in the first half of the first round to go in that direction at wide receiver, but They can't be ruled out if Olave or Wilson or Williams falls a little bit. I would not be surprised the Eagles jumped on a player. They could also use an active linebacker here. Lost to Alex Singleton. Pretty weak on the second level. Hassan Reddick is more of a edge rusher. They picked him up, the Temple product. They're in free agency from the Panthers. So, again, defense should be the order of the day here. The Eagles seem pretty adamant that they're sticking with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. We'll have to see that. We'll only know that for sure if they don't make a move and finagle to take a quarterback early in this draft with one of those two first-rounders. And running back, Miles Sanders, been a holding pattern. We haven't heard too much about how much they're committed to Miles Sanders here in this offense going forward. They did bring back Boston Scott with Kenneth Gainwell. Moved on from Jordan Howard. So I think they'll be in the market for a power back. A couple guys that you could look at. Isaiah Spiller of Texas A&M. Again, these are day two type options and maybe spilling into day three with Brian Robinson of Alabama. All right, the next team up is the 49ers. It's all been about Debo Samuel. And I think the 49ers really want to trade Debo Samuel. Then Debo, I don't know if he really wants to be traded, but he's been doing weird things like not following the team on Instagram and social media posts. So Debo just trying to get paid right here. So the funny thing is he doesn't want to be in that hybrid role as much. It wears him down. But that also is going to help him break the bank here closer to the highest wide receiver salaries in the NFL. So that's what the 49ers are navigating through. Can they make it work with Debo? Can they piece to in a draft? Is there going to be someone who just makes an extremely aggressive offer in the way that teams pitched the Packers for Adams and the Chiefs for Hill and just say, we're going to pay him a lot. We're going to give you things you cannot refuse here. So the 49ers at least have to be listening to see what they can get out there. Jets have been rumored quite a bit here. Dolphins, I think it's too much, especially a little bit of redundancy with his skill set, with the versatility of Hill and Waddle. And again, the Dolphins are not going to make another blockbuster trade for the offensive-minded head coach there from San Francisco, Mike McDaniel. But the Jets do have the offensive coordinator from San Francisco as well, and Michael Floor. So that's why I look at Debo. You put in Debo, it's a hybrid running back, wide receiver. I think keeps role as a running back will probably be scaled down regardless. If the 49ers a little bit more confidence now with Elijah Mitchell going into year two. So if he stays there, there's that. But if he goes to a team like the Jets, looking about it with Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, that could be a scary offense to really lift Zach Wilson here. And the Colts, again, good pick for the Colts if they can trade him. And we know the Colts and 49ers have been good trade partners. We've seen the deal there go down for DeForest Buckner, and the Colts have been happy about that. So maybe the Colts can do a little bit more shopping, get Debo in the mix with Michael Pittman Jr. But however you look at it, Debo is the borderline wide receiver one we're looking at with his usage and play and just overall talent. So we'll see how the drama plays out. I don't think he's going anywhere. At quarterback, it still looks like there's a potential Jimmy Garoppolo could start over Trey Lance, especially if there are no takers for Jimmy Garoppolo. The other concern there is a shoulder injury. How recovered it will be there. But right now, I would bet on Trey Lance being the week one starter for the 49ers. The next guy that we'd look at on this list is from the Seahawks, and he's on the list of movement at wide receiver. We talked about A.J. Brown there with our AFC News and Rumors. DK Metcalf also looking for a new deal. The Seahawks have been listening to some offers for him without Russell Wilson. Are they in full rebuild mode and going to take some picks here back for DK Metcalf? We'll have to see that. I think that could still go down during the draft. Where do they stand at quarterback? Are they going to just simply go Drew Lock and hope that he can recover and do well in their offense and look till next year? We mentioned it, a lot of teams maybe tabling it when Bryce Young of Alabama, C.J. Stroud of Ohio State are available next year to look there, or do they just pull the trigger on Malik Willis with the pick that they got in the Russell Wilson trade for the Broncos and keep DK Metcalf intact with Tyler Lockett, maybe upgrade the weapons a little bit, a wide receiver. So to QB or not to QB is the question for many teams, but the Seahawks is definitely on the list of those teams doing it. And DK Metcalf, what happens with him might indicate where they're going. If they're going full rebuild mode, move from Metcalf, maybe get some assets for 2023, then you're thinking they're tabling quarterback and just taking their lumps this year. But again, we'll have to see what they do here with this pick. I still think they can be competitive. Their defense needs a lot of work, but offensively, they can compete here with some of their skill position players. That includes Rashad Penny. They brought him back. They initially did not pick up his fifth-year option, but then they needed him to play. Chris Carson hurting, and then Penny took over, had a dominant stretch, won some fantasy football leagues off the waiver wire. So he's back in the mix. They're not sure about Chris Carson's health going forward. That's been always the issue with Chris Carson. Undrafted guy, a lot of just durability issues throughout his career with the Seahawks, and it could open things up here for Rashad Penny to still have a key role and a lot of touches here for Pete Carroll in 2022. At Tampa, they're looking at what they should have running back. They brought back Leonard Fournette and Giovanni Bernard, moved on from Ronald Jones. We know he signed with the Chiefs. They could be in the market for one more back in that Jones vein, maybe a power back. We mentioned is Isaiah Spiller, maybe a bit of reach, but Brian Robinson of Alabama would fit that bill to replace Jones, someone who doesn't offer much in the passing game but can still be a hard runner. Offensive line will also be a consideration. Ali Marpet retired. He was one of their guards. Alex Kappa also retired. Ryan Jensen's coming back, but he's getting older at center. So interior offensive line could be an option here for the Buccaneers at some point. You look at tackle. They're okay with Donovan Smith and Tristan Wirfs. So interior offensive line, I still think, could be in play here for the Buccaneers. And wide receiver, potentially. They did invest quite a bit. They have a lot of bodies here. Jalen Darden. They have Russell Gage now there to replace Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin. So I think wide receiver a little bit tabled, but running back, offensive line more likely. And then don't sleep on a quarterback here. If they don't get one of these veterans here, Baker or Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't get ended up training to them to be Tom Brady's successor there in 2023, then they're definitely going to be in the market for a quarterback. Knowing that right now Kyle Trask, their second-round pick from last year out of Florida, is their best option should Brady hang it up. And finally, we go to the Washington Commanders. They've been rumored a lot to taking Kyle Hamilton, the safety of Notre Dame there. So Kyle Hamilton dropping 11, a little bit concerned maybe that his size and athleticism doesn't give him a true position, whether it's safety or linebacker here for a team. So that might cause him to slip. Makes a lot of sense. There was a Hamilton that was with Washington. So Kyle Hamilton and Washington just sounds right here. But I don't know if he's going to last because the Jets picked one pick before. Another position that has to be on the radar very strongly for the Commanders is a true number one wide receiver. Now, I don't know if those guys will kind of fall right into place here because, again, number 11, just like the Vikings we talked to number 12, they could have a pick here between Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Jameson Williams. Well, we keep talking about them because, again, these are the receivers that I think are the game changers. There's a lot of other good receivers. We mentioned Drake London and Treylon Burks and Jahan Dotson. But in terms of number one type guys with the talent of this draft, I think that's where you have to go. So the Commanders will think about Olave, Wilson, and Williams there. One last reference to those guys. They also have to think about tight end. I don't think not too early. Logan Thomas still recovering from his ACL. They also need some depth there if they want to use some 12 personnel to help Carson Wentz, which is effective at one point with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert for him in Philadelphia. We saw some of that last year with Moy Cox and Jack Doyle. So tight end will definitely be a little bit of a market for the Commanders as well as wide receiver if it's not safety in the first round. And you can't rule out quarterback. Some people are providing mixed messages what they feel about Carson Wentz. Is he more of a bridge? I say the investment calls for him to be more of a one-year solution, but we thought that was the case for the Colts last year. So if the price is right at quarterback in terms of the draft pick value, they're going to go after that player at some point for sure in Indianapolis. All right, there you have it. There's a look at now your NFC latest news and rumors there. Again, check out the AFC if you missed that. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Now we'll do some more draft talk. We'll count down and look at what's coming up, mock draft, and go in that direction with the top 32. What's going to happen there? We'll do that for you there over the next two shows and really break it down pick by pick what we think is going to happen. We talked about the teams and what they could do. Now we're going to talk about the picks and how it could break down by scenario. Now make your second listen Locked On NFL Draft. Speaking of the draft, Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL Draft to life every day with inside analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Mitty Iyer. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow with some more NFL Draft talk leading into Thursday's big night.